welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday. We made it to Friday, the 20th of April, 2012. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a very good weekend. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you very much for choosing the Buckmaster Show. And we are live Monday through Friday at noon, noon to 1 on KVOI, The Voice, AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And we simulcast this program on KAPR AM 930 in Douglas, so we can serve all of southeastern Arizona. And we stream the show live at buckmastershow.com and the radio station website, kvoi.com. Also 24/7 anytime listening of our program on my website, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and TucsonCitizen.com, also carrying the program. Today's Friday Focus interview is with Carolyn Cox, chair of the Pima County Republican Party. She was a congressional candidate in the state of Colorado in the year 2000. Joining me to question Ms. Cox, Dylan Smith, editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson's online news service. If you have a question or comment, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. The Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Carolyn, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
And Dylan, I almost said TucsonCitizen.com, and I didn't mean, of course, to say that. You are the brains behind TucsonSentinel.com.
I don't know about I guess the evil genius behind the throne or something.
And I'll say this very publicly. We do appreciate the service you do with your online news service of Tucson and Southern Arizona News, and we appreciate you carrying the Buckmaster Show.
Well, it's a pleasure to do so, and thank you very much. And it's great to be here, as always.
Carolyn, let's talk a little bit about the CD8 Republican race. A lot of people thought the conventional thinking going into this, Carolyn, was that the Jesse Kelly, he certainly had the leg up on the other candidates because of the name recognition. That pretty much played out, didn't it?
Yes, I think it did. Certainly showing from the early voters were all, most of them, Jesse Kelly supporters, and they just, you know, had remembered him from the past and liked him and were delighted to see him running again.
Do you like the Kelly-Barber matchup?
Yes, I do. I think that Jesse Kelly will handle himself very, very well. He ran a great campaign. I think he stayed right on message the whole time. And I think that the people in Southern Arizona are very, very concerned about the things that are going on in Washington. I think this whole idea that you can just spend and spend and borrow with no consequences, like Nancy Pelosi wants to do, and since she and Mr. Barber are good friends, I would assume that he would carry that on, and I think people don't want that.
Let's get back to, you know, since we're here to rehash the race, what happened with Dave Sitton? He was the huge leader in fundraising.
Yes.
You know, ran, you know, by far number in the lead in raising campaign funds, yet came in dead last.
Well, you know what? Bill and I were talking about this before, too. I think that he has a lot of very, very good friends here in town, maybe anywhere from the range of 2,000 to 3,000 people, who really liked him and who really thought he would be a great, great candidate. But the problem is that the district is much, much bigger than that, and it's much bigger than Central Tucson. And perhaps they just did not have enough time to get his message out to enough people to make a difference. I mean, obviously, that's what happened.
It'll be interesting to see how much of that money he spent and how much, you know, was still sitting in a campaign.
Oh, it's gone.
It's gone?
It's gone.
He spent it all?
Yeah.
Because that was a pretty good war chest.
It was. And, you know, I mean, I think he had a great message, but maybe not dynamic enough. Mm. I don't know.
Does that show that one sort of name recognition doesn't necessarily transfer to a different area? You know, he's been known for many, many years for being a broadcaster
right,
and calling the Wildcats games.
And I think the sports fans probably did back him. I think the people who listened to his sportcasting liked him very much. I mean, he's a a gentleman and a delightful man and was right on message, and the things he said, I would have been delighted to have him as our candidate. But for whatever reason, he did not resonate with enough of the people who are voting.
Also on the fundraising front, why did Frank Antonori do so terribly at raising money?
Well, I don't know that he did so terribly. I think he had a problem with that FEC report that was not turned in at the proper time and missed a deadline. And I think actually he did better than those reports indicated.
What happens now with Dave Sitton's campaign? Do you think that he will try again for the newly created CD8? CD8 becomes basically CD2.
Yes. Well, I know all three of the candidates, Martha and Frank and Dave, had said that they will get behind Jesse for this CD8 race. And so I think we'll just have to see what happens, whether they continue on into two. They will go ahead and get their petition signed so that they can jump into the race. But I think they will all actively work for Jesse to get him elected.
If Jesse becomes if he wins the special election, he would be a incumbent congressperson. That might certainly change the way Republicans then look at the fall campaign, correct, for CD2?
Yes, it certainly could. I would guess, I think that Frank has indicated that if Jesse wins the election that he would not challenge him, and I doubt that Dave would, and I don't know what Martha's plans are.
What about Martha McSally, Colonel McSally? She came on very strong.
Yeah, she is an impressive person, and she has done some great things, has a lot of knowledge. I think maybe that she just didn't have enough time, and maybe she didn't have enough time to come up to speed on the local issues that she would have had. Maybe she had another month or so. I think she would certainly have been a force to contend with.
Because the early voting certainly went to Kelly.
Absolutely.
But Martha McSally, I think, won the day of voting. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Of course, you have to understand that it may have been that Jesse's supporters, since they knew him, were quite anxious to go ahead and vote early, and they did so.
Coming up now on 1212 on the Buckmaster Show, Carolyn Cox is with us. She is the chair of the local Republican Party, the Pima County Republican Party. Dylan Smith is with me from TucsonSentinel.com, where we're reconstructing the election and looking ahead to what's coming up with Ron Barber and Jesse Kelly. Carolyn, getting back to that matchup with Barber and Kelly, is Kelly a different – is he portraying himself – in a different manner than he did in 2010. And you were a supporter of Kelly in 2010, correct?
Right, yes.
Yeah. Is he a different candidate?
You know, I don't think he's a different – I don't think he's changed in his philosophy that much, but he has certainly matured, and he has understood the politics and the way in which to run a campaign, and I think he did a marvelous job in this campaign.
And so how will fundraising go for Jesse Kelly? Is this going to be a problem for him, or how do you see it going?
No, I don't. I think that he will raise the money because I think he did. He ran an excellent campaign. I think he understands what needs to happen. I mean, the United States has to get out of over-regulating businesses. We have to turn the private sector loose. We have to finally have economic growth. We haven't had any decent economic growth for years, and that is what is creating all of the problems. I mean, the only way we can deal with entitlements is to have the economic growth, because we know that the payroll taxes will not cover the costs for Social Security and Medicare. So it has to be made up out of the general fund. And the only way we can do that with any ease is for us to have economic growth. And, you know, Jesse has observed that one of the ways to do this is by using our natural resources, going after the oil that we have, the natural gas, and to get our economy booming again.
Last year, corporate profits were at an all-time record high. We've got, you know, The unemployment rate is still sadly much too high, but it's coming down gradually, very steadily. You look at the curve and, you know, look at how things are going, and people are becoming, you know, we are creating more jobs in this country. How is that not economic growth if we're making jobs and corporate profits are higher than they have ever been before?
Because there's so much uncertainty out there. There's so much uncertainty with the taxing. And also the regulations are stifling a lot of things. So the business people are not creating the jobs like they could if they thought that they had someone who was business friendly in the White House.
12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to take a break right here with Carolyn Cox, the GOP chair for Pima County. Dylan Smith is here from TucsonSentinel.com. If you would like to join in the conversation, if you have a question for Ms. Cox, she would be glad to entertain your question or hear your comment at 790-2040, 790-2040. We're continuing with the Friday edition of Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Augustus Paris Antiques is a very special place for the discriminating antique collector, specializing in one-of-a-kind pieces of 19th century to mid-20th century European antique furniture and objects of art. Owner Roberta Franzheim has a great eye for quality and lasting appeal. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1220 on Friday Focus. Friday Focus, we bring in a newsmaker, and the newsmaker today is Carolyn Cox. She is chair of Pima County Republican Party, and also with me in studio, Dylan Smith. Dylan is the editor-publisher of Tucson's online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. And to the Buckmaster Show live line we go at 790-2040. Jerry, go ahead, Jerry.
Good morning, gentlemen and Carolyn. And what I would like Carolyn to address would be the fact that all those people who qualify for unemployment, and the unemployment figures are really higher than they're stating, plus the fact of those people who are no longer looking for jobs.
Okay. About unemployment figures.
Yes, okay.
The people that are, they're not even included in those numbers that are looking for jobs.
Sure. And when you leave those people out, then you distort the amount of the percentage of people who are looking for jobs. So it would it's sort of dishonest of just saying, okay, well, these people are just out here, but we're not counting them as being unemployed.
Well, unemployment figures are actually based on a national survey that's performed, I think, every couple of weeks. They're not based strictly on the people who are receiving unemployment compensation checks. Those people are obviously included, but the government does a survey and they specifically ask, are you looking for work? That is the question. That's the judge of unemployment. And you know, have you looked for work within the past month? And if you say yes to that, then you are included in the unemployment rolls. So it includes a vast number of people who are not getting their, in Arizona, the $240 a week just for unemployment.
Yeah, but it's still it's another one of the ways that government does seem to kind of distort statistics, and so we're basically.
What would be a better way to count on people who are unemployed?
Well, I think that someone who is able-bodied and able to work should be counted as somebody who could be a worker.
So stay-at-home moms should be considered unemployed. There are people who can work, but they choose not to.
Should they be on there?
And
I'm not saying that I know the answer of how exactly they should determine the people who have just dropped out of the workplace because they don't want to be bothered anymore to apply for a job. But it is a distorting feature.
Okay, we can agree on that. 1222 on the Buckmaster Show. And I know, Carolyn, you and many of the folks that you represent, the Republicans especially, very upset with Arizona Daily Star editorial cartoonist, columnist David Fitzsimmons for on his blog on the Star. He really ripped Jesse Kelly election night.
Yes, he did. And I think a lot of the things are very hateful that he said. And I don't think that I have noticed that the Star has not done any kind of a retraction or said maybe you stepped over the line. And I think that were a Republican to write something like that about Gabrielle Giffords, that everything would break loose and everybody would say, oh, you horrible, terrible person. But, things like calling Jesse Kelly an empty plastic Ken doll is really quite insulting. And he certainly, he is a very bright young man. He's self-taught. But I challenge anybody to sit down and talk with him and find out that he doesn't know what he's talking about, because he does. He does understand the things he talks about.
I do think that life experience is going to be an issue, and I think the Democrats with Ron Barber are going to point that Ron has more life experience than Jesse Kelly.
Well, I don't know if he has more life experience or not, Kelly. I mean, more years.
He's certainly older. But I think what I'm trying to say, Carolyn, is that they will point that that Mr. Kelly lacks experience.
Well, he served in in the war. He's been a project manager on a real live large company, been responsible for lots of workers, helped to make payrolls. I think he's had a lot of very, very good life experiences. And I think that Mr. Barber, he's caught up in this tax and spend mentality of the Democrats. It's, you know, Nancy Pelosi has had fundraisers for him, and there's no question but what they're on the same page philosophically. And I think the American people have figured out, hey, you can't borrow more money than you take in year after year after year and not hurt our economy.
Our next caller, who did not want to go on the air, has a question. Do you believe, Carolyn Cox, that Ron Barber will be in, as the caller said, Nancy Pelosi's back pocket?
Yes, I do, because he has backed everything that Gabrielle Giffords stood for. She voted exactly on Obamacare like Pelosi told her to, and she actually came out and told all of us that it would. She had to vote for it because it would cut the deficit by $100 billion. There's no way that it could do that because they're setting up 159 new agencies and doing all kinds of things. So she was really suckered in by Pelosi, and I think Mr. Barber will be too.
What do you think then the issue will be between Kelly and Barber? What will be the defining issue?
What do I think?
Yes, what do you think will be the defining issue?
Well, I think it has to be the economy. I think it has to be the fact that we have gasoline prices that are approaching $4 a gallon. I think the fact that that affects everything that we buy, because everything in Tucson comes here by truck. And so it really affects everything. And I just think people understand that you cannot have a debt every year and every year. And at least Jesse understands that one of the ways that we can work our way out of that so that we don't have to make drastic cuts in like entitlements and promises that the government has made to the seniors is that you have to grow the economy. And you do that by being business friendly.
Does Jesse Kelly want to phase out Social Security and think that people are on that are on Medicare are on the dole? That's what the Barber campaign is contending.
Well, no, he does not. And I'll just repeat what I said. I think Jesse is absolutely on the right track, that what we have to do is grow the economy to be able to match the promises that we have made to the seniors. Because you and I both know that the payroll taxes, which were initially intended to pay for Social Security and Medicare, can no longer do that. They don't collect enough money to do that. So in order not to have to cut benefits. I mean, you have to understand that Obamacare has already cut $500 billion out of Medicare already. And in order not to keep cutting and cutting, the only way we can handle this is to grow the economy.
Jesse told me on Tuesday night that indeed he is in favor of protecting Social Security benefits for seniors, but phasing it out for people who are not yet collecting Social Security. I mean, that's what the man told me. How is that not in favor of phasing it out?
The what you're missing is that into going into some kind of a fixed benefit type idea, like they do in the federal health program that they have, where sort of like what Paul Ryan is talking about, where you get a fixed benefit, what they call a premium support, and with that you buy a catastrophic policy. But some of the day-to-day—
Well, that's not Social Security, though.
That's for the— for Social Security, I've done this study for years, and it turns out that if someone your age or younger would be investing in the market, you would have much more money by the time you got ready to retire than was even promised by Social Security. And so it's Social Security is not a good deal. I mean,
Social Security was never meant to be a complete retirement plan.
That's right, but it's
a safety net has a minimum level to survive on.
Yes, that is true. But when it started out, it was never intended to take 12% of your wages. That's where you guys miss the difference between what it started out with when it was 1% you paid and 1% your employer paid. Now it's 6.2% you pay and 6.2% your employer pays, 12%. That's a huge amount of your salary. That could fund an excellent retirement program.
Carolyn Cox, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Carolyn Cox, the GOP chair for Pima County, and Dylan Smith. Dylan, you stick around for our reporters' roundtable.
I certainly shall.
You're not going anywhere. All right, midway point of the Buckmaster Show on this Friday. Stay with us. We will be back right after this.
Okay.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. More Secret Service personnel are about to lose their jobs, according to a federal official familiar with the investigation into the goings-on in Colombia earlier this month. It's $150,000 bail for George Zimmerman in the fatal shooting of unarmed teen Trayvon Martin in Florida. Government media in Syria are reporting that bombs and shootings have killed 17 soldiers today, while opposition activists say at least 11 civilians have been killed in regime shelling and other attacks. As President Obama's re-election campaign starts airing Spanish language ads, Mitt Romney is making his own appeal to Hispanic voters. He's in Arizona today for a business roundtable with Hispanic leaders. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 71 points. More details at srnnews.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday on KVOI AM 1030. It's time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable from our pool of local journalists who enjoy coming in, and we're glad to have them, and they talk about the week's top stories, and there's plenty to talk about this week. Joining me on the Friday Reporters Roundtable, Dylan Smith. He is the editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan was with us, of course, for our opening interview with Carolyn Cox, the GOP Pima County Chair, and now joining us, Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. We welcome you to join us at any time during our conversation on the Buckmaster Show live line. That number is 790-2040. The Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Dylan and Dan, let's begin with, of course, we talked, Dylan, with Carolyn Cox, some of getting her take on the CD8 primary. What was your take? No big surprise that Jesse Kelly won?
I was certainly not surprised by the margin. I wasn't surprised that Jesse Kelly won. I played my hunch, and that's where I spent the evening at his party and had the rest of our team distributed at all the other parties. But I was very surprised that Sitton did so poorly. You would think that with the amount of money he had and some name recognition and the country club connections and all of that, that he would have come in, certainly not dead last.
What did you think, Dan Scheer?
I would say that the surprise was probably Martha McSally in her showing. And I think with a little more time, I don't know that she could have knocked off Jesse Kelly, but I certainly think that she could have I think she's positioned herself real well for the future, and I don't know if that future means November or whether it means farther down the line, but I think she did very well. I'm going to disagree a little bit with Carolyn Cox when she said Jesse ran a great campaign and everything, because basically he laid low, relied on the name recognition, and he spoke to very friendly groups, and then toward the end he kind of came out a little bit, but he still was full of sound bites, and I was a little disappointed in that.
Did he change his personality?
I think definitely he has matured, and that's the word we're hearing. And it's interesting that before he even declared victory Tuesday night, Ron Barber had sent out an email to everybody, and reaching way back to 2009, some things that Jesse Kelly had said just to get attention, because back in 2009, nobody knew who he was. So they're reaching way back, and Jesse's biggest foe in this campaign is going to be his own history.
What do you think, Dylan?
I agree. I think really the biggest issue is going to probably be Social Security. Jesse's gone rather far out on a limb in the past on that. I don't really know if he's changed his position any, but he's dialed back his rhetoric on it. But that's still something that very much concerns a lot of seniors, and there are a lot of seniors in the district.
Social Security will be a big issue, and I think, and I brought this up with Carolyn Cox, Dylan and Dan, about the so-called life experience. I think Ron Barber is going to portray Jesse Kelly as just a young man who does not have the kind of experience that's necessary to be a congressperson.
Well, and I think that he's got a really good point there. And Jesse does have some life experiences. He is young, but he does have some life experiences. People still knock him for not having a college degree. A lot of people who don't have college degrees have done great things, but going to college—
Thank you very much.
Yeah, going to college does expose you to different people, different ideas. It's a very healthy thing. Jesse didn't have that. Doesn't mean he's not qualified. qualified, but I think that's going to come up again and again.
Does he have any college or semester? University of Montana?
I think it's about a half a semester. So he flat out said, I hated it. And you know what? College is not for everybody, but there are certain benefits to going.
I made it more than half a semester through college, but I never got that little piece of paper that said I was high and mighty and important. But other than that, you know, Ron Barber's done a lot through his, various, several careers, really. And Jesse Kelly, although, he's done some interesting things, he doesn't have the same sort of breadth of experience, and that's certainly something that the Barber campaign is probably going to point out.
12:39 on the Buckmaster Show. You can join us at 790-2040, 790-2040. We're talking about the matchup, the Ron Barber-Jesse Kelly matchup. Then there's that X factor, the factor that a lot of people don't like to talk about, Dan and Dylan, and that is the people who have admired Gabrielle Giffords, and they admired the way her office has handled everything in the wake of the tragic shootings. I don't necessarily like the word sympathy vote, but we're talking about people, Republicans, independents, and Democrats who may vote for Ron Barber because they admire the way the whole thing had been handled. What do you think?
I certainly see the, if you want to call it the sympathy vote for the shorthand, I guess that's probably the easiest way to frame the question. But I see that being much more a factor in this special election, which is, when you think of it, it's really, it's the seat that's supposed to represent the people, but everybody frames it as it's Gabby's seat. It's, we're finding a replacement for Gabby. I think that thought will play much more into this election than it will into the fall cycle. I think you're looking at really two different sorts of thought processes for a voter.
I would agree with that, but I'm a little surprised that her name has not cropped up a lot more in my conversations with people. What we're hearing at our newspaper down in Green Valley, that she's still a very important force. She obviously put together a terrific team. It's deep, and even with her and Ron out for a while, they did tremendous thing. They still served their constituents, and so the sympathy vote. I don't like that term either. I think that Ron wants to win this based on his own experiences and abilities, and that's what he's pushing. And, of course, he's pushing the fact that he has bipartisan support, which he most certainly does.
It will be very interesting if Jesse Kelly does not win the special election, what happens with these candidates who ran against him in the special election. Will they then run in the new CD2 race?
Well, they're all still continuing with the process. They're all going to
gathering signatures,
trying to raise a little bit of
money.
Yeah, right.
Which is weird because it's weird in the fact that the special election is mid-June.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to turn in the signatures even before the special election.
Yeah, you have to be a candidate for the fall before this special election actually occurs. So we will have, whether they continue on if Jesse wins, or even whether they will continue on if he loses. I mean, somebody might decide that they're sick of this process and want to do something else.
Well, and I think the other key is if Jesse loses, how much did he lose by? There's going to be just so many different factors here. And sitting, it was a pretty poor showing for a guy who had the biggest war chest there. So perhaps he should be out. Frank, second time around, didn't do it. Obviously, the guy knows the issues, but there's something lacking there. Again, Martha McSally, different story. She was coming on strong and a little more time. You know what? Maybe she could be the one in November if Jesse doesn't do it.
Interestingly, just pretty much came out of nowhere.
Absolutely.
People had sort of heard of her before because of her other actions being in the news, but not as a political person. And she didn't have the greatest grasp of local political issues and how the federal government plays into that.
However, she also admitted that early on. I think that was refreshing, where she's saying, look, I've been in Germany, I've been teaching, I haven't been here, I've been hang gliding in the Alps is really what she was doing, and I need to learn the issues. But she was real honest about
that.
How
many politicians say, I don't know? They just make up some answer.
And then in the last couple of months, we saw that she really had been making progress learning the issues. It's very impressive.
Dan Shear is with us from the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, and Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. Whenever we have Dan with us, want to touch on a couple of important stories. Not that Rosemont isn't important to the rest of us, but it's very important to the people in Green Valley. We had Richard Elias, Pima County Supervisor, on the show yesterday. He was reacting to this, the state of Arizona approving a key water quality permit, and Rosemont is now saying it has 6 total permits, Dan, although one is kind of conditional from
Correct.
The Arizona Corporation Commission, so it needs 4 more. And they're calling this a major milestone.
Well, and it is. And it is. This is the Aquifer Protection Permit, and it basically establishes operating standards and controls to ensure the protection of groundwater. And that was very important to a lot of people. A lot of people were upset that they got it, but they got it. And it is a major win for Rosemont. They're not going to open the mine anytime soon, but we'll see what happens. The big hurdle for Rosemont right now is going to be the EPA. They said that the plan that was presented to the Army Corps of Engineers and the Forest Service is out of compliance, and the Forest Service, which is going to make the decision on the environmental impact statement, says they're not going to make a move until this is all settled. Rosemont thinks this is no problem and that they just have some paperwork to go fix, and we'll see. I sure hope it happens this year, but we'll see.
And for the opponents of the mine, is there really any feasible way to stop this? Or is it just going to grind out very slowly?
Well, the EPA is probably at this point their best bet. I have said all along that Rosemont is probably going to get it, and I would stick with that.
You'd say the odds would be like 70% at this point?
I don't know. I want to put a number on it, but I'll tell you what.
Try to pin you down.
I just have never seen anything real solid, and I have sat through hours and hours of testimony. I've sat through stuff from the public. The public usually comes at this from a very emotional standpoint. That's not how the decision is going to be made. So the Forest Service has said, we basically have our hands tied. If they do certain things, we have to okay it. I think it's going to go through.
And it's a very emotional issue, Dylan. And at least there's 3 supervisor races that I know of that are being that will be contested. Ray Carroll has a primary. Sharon Bronson's going to have a Republican opponent. Has a Republican mm-hmm. opponent. Nancy Young Wright will be facing off against 4 candidates in District 1. I have said all along, Dylan, that those races, it's a referendum on Rosemont in many ways.
I think the most interesting race will be the race against Ray Carroll. You know, he's always been such an outlier in the Republican Party. He doesn't really want to ever follow anybody's line. He just sort of goes off on his own on a lot of these things. And it's going to be interesting to see whether the Republican Party can take that seat.
Yeah, he has a candidate, I think.
Away from the Republicans.
Yes, exactly.
a business owner in Vail is running against Ray Carroll. Also, while I have you, Dan, the University of Arizona and Canoa Ranch working out. Is this a tentative deal?
It's not really even that far along. It's just cautious steps. And briefly, a little bit of history. The Canoa Ranch is 4,800 acres near Green Valley. It's owned by Pima County. There's a group down in Green Valley that wants to make it a hub for history. They want to have a restaurant and a museum and education facilities, conference center. But nobody has any money. U of A has no money. The county has no money. But they want to forge a public-private partnership. And U of A says, maybe we'll put an agriculture extension down there. And they haven't cut them off. They've said, yeah, let's talk and let's move forward. It's real early, but it's a glimmer of hope for a place that some people just thought would go nowhere until a bond election came through or more private money came due. So we'll see what happens, but it's very interesting. This could be very big for that area if it goes all the way.
The legislature passed their self-imposed deadline of 100 days. It didn't happen. They were going to try to end the session, Dylan Smith, in 100 days. They passed that on Tuesday, and now there's this budget dispute. We had Bruce Wheeler on the program this week, Democrat from Central Tucson, state representative, and he says once again the Democrats have been left out of the budget process.
Well, that's just kind of politics, isn't it? I mean, if you're that far down, and it's not like that's an even split, they're 2 seats down or something. The Republicans do effectively completely control the state legislature, and the Democrats are pretty much there to jump up and down and wave their hands and try and get some attention. Every once in a while, a Democrat will be able to get a bill through, but it's been few and far between. The interesting thing is that the ledge has been dealing with all of these other bills rather than deal with the budget. Mm-hmm. They keep pushing everybody's little pet project, everybody's pet issue, rather than first off tackling the budget.
Yeah. And
aren't they supposed to be the party that's about knowing how to do things with money?
Well, Democrats are going to use this, and they're saying that why in the world, when you have a Republican governor, and you've got the legislature also controlled by Republicans, why not some kind of a settlement, Dan Scheer?
Well, the Republicans are always going to point to, a year ago or whatever, where we were, $1 billion in debt facing something pretty awful. They say they came in and straightened things out. And how can you criticize us when we have really turned the state around? A year ago, we're selling off the Capitol and doing all this awful stuff. And you just sit off to the side there and let us handle it. That's what the Republicans are saying.
Big court news this week, 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruling that Arizona is entitled to demand that people present identification before they're allowed to cast a ballot, Dylan.
That wasn't a big surprise to me. There have been other appeals court decisions around the country, not in the 9th Circuit, but other appeals courts have approved various levels of voter ID laws. The interesting thing about it is the appeals court struck down was a requirement, any possibility of Arizona changing the federal standards for voter registration in the first place. There's a uniform form for how people can register to vote, and states can't add on anything to that. So while Arizona can run its own polling system, it can't run its own voter registration system.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com and Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News. Dan, we will see you next week on the program. We'll be talking with Mayor Bloomberg of Sahuarita. Hope he's doing better after massive heart surgery.
Yes, he's doing terrific. He'll be here.
All right, Dylan, thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great weekend.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Why travel to Paris in search of that special antique when you have Augustus Paris Antiques right here in Tucson? Owner Roberta Fransheim specializes in selecting one-of-a-kind pieces of European antique furniture and objects of art from the 19th century to mid-20th century chic. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
And get ready for a very hot weekend. That sound signals weekend in Tucson on the Buckmaster Show. And joining us, Matt Russell. Matt, you know, this is about time for you to get out the Speedo in the size 3XL for your weekend. You haven't had it on in a while, and there was quite a bit of good eating over the winter. So
spare your listeners the pain, Bill Buckmaster, please.
Oh my goodness. And you will be out by the pool, and the Russell House, of course, has Tucson's only margarita cocktail pool slide.
That's exactly right. That's one of our favorite ways to spend the weekend. That's a great, what great family fun, right, Bill?
Yeah, it's a lot of family fun. Late night up at North, huh?
Yeah.
Happy hour?
Absolutely. You know, as you know, the Cruiser is always on the lookout for great happy hour deals, but we're rarely finding anything much past 6 o'clock at night. But for the Night Owl listeners of the Buckmaster Show, I've found a new late night happy hour, as you said, at North, Modern Italian Cuisine, which is up at La Encantada on Skyline and Campbell. Now, every Friday and Saturday nights from about 10 p.m. till just after midnight, they're going to feature a delicious late night menu with $6 pizzas, their famous zucchini chips for only $3, and all kinds of drink specials. I think this is a great place to end the night, enjoy the beautiful twinkling lights in the city, and get some great price food and drink.
Yeah, I think so, Matt. And, of course, the Culinary Cruiser, that's the name, of course, we have dubbed Matt Russell. After your dinner, you've had a big dinner at about 6, 7 o'clock at night, you're about ready for... You have been cruising looking for a late-night pizza or something to get you through.
You know, I
to
have
breakfast.
Your listeners in mind every night, Bill. I'm looking out for you.
I know you love to do brunch.
I really do. And, you know, Bill, I'm really fascinated by the explosion of activity on the local brunch beat in town, and things are really heating up this weekend with the addition of Sunday brunch over at the new place, Augustine Brasserie, which is that hot new French bistro in the Mercado over there on West Congress. And I'm told they're going to be featuring such goodies as French toast with caramelized apples, eggs benedict with spinach and bacon, and a yummy, notice my use of the French culinary term, yummy, a basil Gruyere omelet with herb-roasted potatoes. Brunch is going to be served at Augustine on Sundays from 8 in the morning until 2 p.m. This sounds like a lot of fun.
This is a new property?
Yeah, they just opened, I think, a couple of months ago. The town is all abuzz. You know, it's on the west side of the interstate, so when you hear Congress, don't think it's smack dab in the middle of downtown. But with all the construction around, it actually is very easy to get to, and the setting is amazing. The aesthetic is one of a kind, and the food, the menu features food items that you're just not going to find anywhere else in southern Arizona.
Hey, it's going to be nearly 100 degrees. Everybody, I think, is ready now for a pool party.
I would say so. And, you know, Bill, I might reconsider that Speedo myself. When I head over to Lowe's Ventana Canyon Resort this Sunday at 2 p.m. to crash the pool. Now, our good friends at Lowe's are going to be opening up their pool to the public, so you don't have to sneak in anymore, for a great pool party. They're going to feature a live DJ for all the twisting and shouting by the pool, as you know that I love to do. And, of course, there's going to be a host of food and drink specials. Now, there is a $25 minimum for food and drink, but with these great specials, $25 is going to go a long way. So crash the pool with me, Bill, this Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at Lowe's Ventana Canyon Resort.
Cannonball alert. The culinary cruiser is coming to the pool. They're going to need a couple hundred extra gallons. Okay. Have a great weekend, Matt.
Anchors away, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso and Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. More at SplendidoTucson.com. Also, support comes from Flowers Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at FlowersRieger.com. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, our producer, Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful, safe weekend. Hope you stay cool on the first summer-like weekend of 2012 in Tucson. Have a great weekend.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.